Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I thought we was going to probably have some music coming on, but we didn't. Maybe next time. But first of all, I want to thank God for this opportunity. Secondly, I want to thank Elder Oliver for Chaos Block Talk Radio being an avenue that he do invite anybody that can speak on if you're speaking the truth. I thank you, sir, for the platform. Even for our church, Praise Tabernacle Church Incorporated in Lawrenceville, Georgia, I thank you for all the avenues that you're giving all of us just to say something, you know, whether it be family, whether it be preaching, whether it be teaching. But I do thank you from the bottom of my heart for granting us this opportunity. Tonight, our subject is going to be about relationships. And for a subtitle, happiness. Relationships, subtitle, happiness. And right now I want to ask my daughter Vanessa if she would pray us in at this moment.
Yes. Hi, everybody. Good evening. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for another day. Thank you for today alone, God. Thank you for the grace we've experienced today, the love we experienced today, the joy we've experienced today. And thank you for allowing us all to be in this atmosphere to listen in or to speak about you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for greatness. Please get all of us out of the way, and please you pour into us so that we can feed everyone listening, God. I pray that you decrease us and that you increase in this atmosphere. Thank you in advance for everybody that will be touched, whether it's with a giggle or with salvation or with just feeling that loving atmosphere. However anybody's touched, I just thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, sweet daughter. All right, so our subject today, this is the Bluette family. My wife is on. I have five kids. I don't know if all five are on, but I think it's three on of the five. And we do welcome everybody. I'm sorry, go ahead. All right, I do welcome everybody that's listening. Tell your friends, tell your family. We'll be on every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. And what we do, or what we're trying to do, is to let you experience our family. We're an everyday family. All my kids were raised in the church. Did all my kids go the right way? No. Did they get back on track? Yes. But me and my wife are part of the church of Praise Tabernacle Church Incorporated. And we do believe in faith. We have faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ. So before we go any further, I want to read this scripture right quick before we get started. And it comes out of John 15. John 15, starting at verse 12 to 17. I'll read this pretty quickly. I don't want to bore you. But it is the word of God, and it gets me excited. So John 15, starting at verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. If you have not chosen me, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Command you to ye love one another. That was John 15, verses 12 through 17. So, again, we're talking about relationships, and for a subtopic, happiness. And the floor is open to anybody at this moment.
Well, I mean, you kind of have me like at a pause right now from the scripture you just read, because what greater love than what Christ has shown us, that he laid down his life. I wasn't going to go that way, but since you went there, how many people will we lay down our lives for?
That's a valid question.
You don't have to answer the question. It's just something to think about. It's something to think about.
It's a valid question. I tell you, I got two main relationships that I hang everything on. Two relationships that I hang everything on. The first and foremost relationship I have is with Jesus Christ. So in 1987, when I had lost everything in South Central LA, I used to be a dope dealer. I used to do this, that, and the other. Lost everything. And a time went by where I was struggling. I didn't feel right going back into the game. And then one Sunday, I just walked right down the street to this church I had never been to, sat in the back pew, listened to the preacher, blah, blah, blah. Second Sunday I went, I sat in the middle, listened to the preacher, blah, blah, blah. Third Sunday I went, I sat on the front pew. And not knowing that was the Sunday they was calling people up to accept Christ in their life and to be baptized. And I raised my hand, got up. We did the baptismal. But prior to that, one of the deacons came to me and he said, if you really believe that you're going to accept Jesus Christ in your life, when you come out of that water, you're going to be challenged. The devil's going to try to intimidate you. He's going to try to bring you back. But if you go down in that water believing, and when you come out of that water, that's going to happen. So I got baptized, came out of that water. As soon as I went back home, I got tempted, just as the deacon had said. So from that time forth to now, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's my first relationship. And I try to stay in that relationship as much as I can right now, because none of us are perfect. My second relationship was with my wife when I met her. And what I had been going through in life, I had no anchor. I had no foundation. Other than giving my life to Christ, I had not learned of Christ yet. I didn't know the word yet. But when I met my wife and married her in 1987, the same year, it gave me a sense of peace that I could think. It gave me a sense of comfort that I can discover my true self. It gave me room to discover what life can begin to be. I didn't have to look behind my back. I wasn't running the streets. I wasn't, you know, doing this, that, or the other that robbed me of my sleep at night. But she gave me a foundation of trust in me that I could feel free enough to make decisions, whether they're right or wrong. But I was able to teach myself through her foundation in my life to make mistakes early, that I knew what was right going forward. So those are the two main relationships in my life, even to this day. And I thank God for that. Anybody else got anything?
Yes, you said the relationship. Okay, so relationships, should we give each other to grow or room to grow? Because you mentioned that. Should we give room to grow in relationships?
Yes.
Or should we just accept people who they are in the beginning and expect them to be that same person throughout the whole relationship?
That's good. That's good.
Do relationships go in stages?
Go ahead, sweetie.
No, I'm just thinking about what you just said. I mean, you just took it all the way left where I was thinking about the relationships. So with what you just said, with relationships, we're talking about friends, family, and whoever. We come from different sides of the track. You come from having a silver spoon in your mouth, you know, dad.
No, you did.
We were totally opposite. Okay, you last week you explained how we met, and I disagree on that too. So can I tell it how I see it?
All right, y'all cover your ears. I don't know what she's gonna say.
No. You came from, and that's why I really married you, because you guys were. Showed me it was more stable, I should say. I can't even say stable because we were stable as well. But, okay, let me just explain what I saw. I saw your family as the well-to-do, been on their job forever, the same job, General Motors. Your dad retired from General Motors, and your mom retired from the post office. They were on their jobs until they retired. So, on my side of the family, we came from prostitute, hoe, pimps, and, you know, hustlers. I mean, you know. So you gave me, I said that to say we were totally opposite even to this day. You didn't hold where I came from over my head. You know what I mean? You didn't hold over, and I hated you for a while because you pushed me into my greatness.
Say that again.
I hated the way that you, now that I hated the way you pushed me. I mean, you made me pretty much, I would put it like this. You didn't let me get by with, you know, being nasty, being rude to somebody. You held me accountable. And I didn't like you for that at that time, because I wouldn't say my parents or anybody, but the where I was in my life, I was drinking, you know, just being rude, just fighting, and, you know, doing whatever, but you held me accountable for it, and that's what was lacking in relationships, because we're not holding each other accountable. And I didn't like you at that time when you was holding me accountable. But I understand it now. It was pushing me into the woman that I am now. So should we, the question was, should we give people in our relationship a chance to grow? But how could they grow if you don't hold them accountable and if they don't know they're doing wrong? We have to hold each other accountable, because I could be doing something my whole entire life and thinking it's right. Okay, because we were raised a pair and a spare. We had, you have a, you know, everybody who know us know what a parent of spirit is. But if I was to do what I was taught, you know, thinking it was right, and you not hold me accountable, you know, I probably have about 4 or 5 different men. I'm just saying. But you hold me accountable, and you stuck with it, and you didn't give up on me, just like I didn't give up on you. But because we were so opposite, and I didn't have, you know, nobody but my mother really was the, you know, that chastised me and let me know when I was wrong. But a lot of times, me and my mom was doing wrong together. So that's why I didn't think it was nothing wrong with it. But thank God she's saved now. I have to clear that up. She's saved and a first lady now. But growing up with her, that was my girlfriend. That was my friend. But that's why I like the relationship that we have and we display with our kids. Okay, and stop these generational curses. You don't he don't believe in generational curses. I believe in generational curses and calling those things out and binding them to get better and better. Okay, start calling those things out. If you see, you know, that your family struggle with whoremonging and dope dealing and buying that stuff or drug using, you know, bind it. Start calling it out. Pray on that thing. Pray on that thing. Pray, not pray on it. I'm talking about fast. You some things you have to fast and pray. But it's too many people praying. You know, it's not a joke. If you don't start calling this stuff out, we're gonna lose a whole generation.
You know,
a whole generation.
You know, a true friend in a relationship. And I thank you for that, sweetie. A true friend in a relationship, a true friend will tell you when you're wrong and when you're right. If you're in a relationship with a friend now and you call yourself best friends and that particular friend is not calling you out on something, they don't love you. I'm going to tell you this, and I know this for sure. They don't love you. They don't care for you. If they cared for you, they wouldn't worry about hurting your feelings on what's right. They wouldn't worry about giving you advice on what direction to go. I'm talking about any relationship that's a friendship. So I'm not telling you to depart from your friends now, but hearing this, think about it. If you and that friendship, person you're in friends with right now, is not going nowhere, if that friend is not encouraging you, and you likewise, if that friend and yourself are not trying to encourage one another to do right, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's nothing wrong with being in friends with somebody and say they're going the wrong way or whatever, and you're trying to do the right thing. There's nothing wrong with that, because trying to do the right thing on your part, try to do the right thing on their part too and help them come along. That's true friendship. And no matter what situations y'all get in, I had a friend I grew up with, had two, but this one particular friend, we went everywhere together, this guy. His mother knew my father, knew his father, blah, blah, blah. His family knew my whole, whatever. Me and him did everything together. We went to house parties. We drank. We smoked weed. This was way back in the day now, before I knew God and my wife. We did all this together. We did everything together. We had our arguments. We had our fights. And one day in front of my father's house, I don't know what happened exactly, but he said something, I said something, and I broke my hand, breaking his jaw, to where I was in a cast and his mouth was wired up. And the very next day, we still hanging out like anything happened. But we would correct each other. Hey, Vic, you shouldn't be feeling that way. Shouldn't say things like that. What would your father think? What would your mother think? Now, we in the hood. Now, we in South Central L.A. We did our dirt. right? We did our dirt, but between me and him, there was no wall of partition. There was nothing between us. We was very open with each other, and we helped one another. He recently passed away, probably about 5 years ago. And we was friends up until 5 years ago when he passed away. But I said that to say this. Friendship should mean something to where you could talk to each other the way you need to talk to, you know, each other. Any of my kids got anything to say? Because I know y'all done been through a lot, too. Relationship with your dad, your mom, you know, your friends.
I can say something. Hey, everybody, this is Asha, baby girl. Asha is dying, by the way. I've had a lot of situations with friends or who I thought were friends at the moment. And it's crazy because you, Dad, you were the one that was like, those are not your friends, Asha. You were the one to tell me that. And ever since the first time in the first situation that happened when you told me that, I've always kept an eye out. And I saw recently, though, it took me some time to realize, I mean, that's the thing about a relationship. Well, I'm just speaking towards my situation, but, like, you can be so into a relationship where you don't even see the red flags. And if you do see the red flags, you try to, you know, buttercup it up. Don't. It's only going to end how it ends. But anyway, but I went through that and I, yeah, I can't say, I'm not going to say too much, but yeah, those are not, yeah, you got to, if your so-called friends are okay with getting in trouble just because they're not, no. They could have a problem with them getting in trouble and you getting in trouble. But if they're off the hook, then yeah, those are not your friends. That's it.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you, sweetie.
Hello.
Hi, this is Vanessa, middle daughter. I had a question as far as, okay, how y'all were saying, you know, you hold your friends accountable, people, friends, of course, is in any relationship, family, you know, romantically, friendship, you know, just friends, about holding people accountable and things like that. Where was our, kind of like, okay, how, Mom, you were saying, like, do you wait for that growth or do you accept somebody as they are? So at what point is it the break? You know what I mean? Like, is it like, you know, at a point of they're draining you or they're bad for you or, like, you know, at what point is it like, okay, I need, this is not them, me waiting for them to grow. This is me hindering myself. You know, like, I don't know, what's the difference on waiting somebody,
because
waiting for somebody to grow?
No, but because your dad, he allowed me to grow. But he made me a better person. Say it again?
Yeah. Tuffy, we can hear you.
I wanted to chime in on that.
Your dad, if the person is not making you a better you, your dad made me a better person. Not that I was a bad, it wasn't that I was a bad person. He just made me, he held me accountable for my actions and the things that I was doing, not just the people. Not
right.
The, okay,
I'm saying for the other person, like for dad, the daddy's
well,
point of view.
That?
Like,
can I chime in on that?
Go ahead, Tuffy. Go ahead.
To answer your question, like to know when to break off. Is your question when you know, or when is it that point where that person, like you and that person, is going your separate ways?
Yeah. Like at what point?
I would say at the point where you figured it all out as far as you personally, and one, they either don't accept it and they still want to push things that made you reevaluate them, or two, they just don't get it. If they just plain out don't get it, they're always not going to get it, especially if, because you're at your purest form whenever you realize things like that as far as that relationship was. Like, say if I had a friend that I was doing things with in the streets and I came to my realization, like, hey, man, I don't want to be this guy anymore. And if y'all are best friends or just friends in general, if they still want to be that person, then they'll respect you and they won't bring it around you. And or it could go the other way, like, hey, like, you know, it could be anything, like, hey, this is real sweet right here. Like, I know you said you didn't want to do this anymore, but it's not like how it was, and it's not going to, it's just this one time. Like, they'll still try to push you in the opposite way. That's when you know somebody's not for you as far as a friend or a relationship, like, romantically, just anything in general, just a friendship or any type of, like, relationship-wise. So that's how I would know.
So you're saying, like, when they're pushing you the other way, like, generally, if they're pushing you the other way, that's when you know it's not for you.
If they just don't understand. Because, I mean, like,
right.
Say
so it'll be a difference if they're, like, trying on their end or, like, you know, like, you just know the difference. I get what you're saying. Go ahead. What was you about to say?
Yeah, it was just like anything in general, like at any type of situation. Like, if you're trying to change in any type of situation, it could be anything. Like, hey, I want to start going to church more, and I want to stop drinking, I want to stop smoking. Okay, and if that's really your friend, and they really want to still do that, then they're going to do that because they're them, but they won't bring you in a position to for you to be tried to do that.
Right,
they're
what about
gonna
the
be
other way
side,
around?
And they're gonna
when
be like,
what about the other way around?
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to pull them and help them. Like how mommy's using an example with daddy. How, let's say mommy continued to be how she was and, you know, daddy's trying to hold her accountable,
yeah,
trying to help her. Like, at what point is it like, okay, break off? Or is there a break off? No,
well,
maybe you just love them from a distance, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, if that was truly my friend.
Yeah, love from a distance.
Yeah, if that was truly my friend, I wouldn't give up on them. I would distance myself, but I know that they need help in a certain situation, and it might be somebody I talk to every day, but I know they need help. Then I'll make myself less accessible to a point where, like, maybe I'm calling them once a week, like, hey, like, you know what I mean? Like, trying to push them in a more positive light. But even if I have to call them once a week for the rest of my life, that's something, like, if they're truly my friend, then I would do that. I mean, it might not be once a week for the rest of my life, but it might be like once a month or twice a month. Like, I wouldn't give up on that person. Even if, you know, they're just blatantly not going to listen to you, but just so they know, because it might be one day in the back of their, you know, mind, it's like they're thinking about changing. And the only reason why they thought about that is because of the effort that you put in as that friend, never giving up on them. Because, I mean, they're going to have parents that give up on them. They're going to have family members that give up on them. And as long as they have somebody in their corner that they could hear in the back of their head when they're at their lowest point, then that could change people. But if that person's truly your friend, that's what I would do. I would, you know, just insert myself in there whenever I feel like I need to. But I will distance myself, though. That way, because they do say who you are, whoever you hang around. I will distance myself, but I would also check up every, you know, every so often.
Good. That's good. That's a great question, Nani, and a great response.
That was
genius. Tuffy. So if we just go back to this scripture I read earlier in John 15, let's go to verse 13. John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See? So let's take that as having a toxic relationship or a toxic friendship. And like Tuffy was saying, he may do it for the rest of his life to still try to encourage his friend. And we need that in our lives. And people need somebody level-headed in their lives. No matter what they do in life, it could be a lot of ups and downs. It could be a lot of mishaps, a lot of misfortunes, and a lot of blessings. But it's all mixed. So the person can be confused, still walking in life, but not steady on anything. But long as you got a steady person in your life that you can call when you need to, you don't know how far that goes to help a person like that, right? It can be people on your job. You know, it's been people on my – I've only really had two jobs my whole life, Army and where I'm at now. So, but there's been people that have mocked you, that you then heard from somebody else, they said something about you or whatever. But there's been also times I have witnessed to the same people that started the mess because they didn't have nobody else to turn to, right? Just a call out of the blue, hey, man, will you pray for me because I got this, that, and the other going on. So that's a good thing you said, Tuff, to not give up on people. But you don't have to have an everyday relationship that can make you be negative behind some negative person. But you can have an everyday relationship where you're still friends, and if that person needs you, they can call you. Always have an open door to people, because right now there's an open door to us through Jesus Christ to get to God for eternal life. That door is open. When that door shuts, it's done. So think about relationships that we have now that are toxic, or an example of what y'all was talking about. If we close that door, we don't know if they have somebody else to turn to. And then on the other side of it, there's a time to die, there's a time to live. There's a time for everything. Time to get, there's a time to release. And, you know, sometimes we keep people in our lives past that moment. We don't know when to let go. Even good relationships don't always stay together. But what you learn out of that relationship of two good friends, they take elsewhere to make other friends. So don't try not to shut the door on people, but you don't have to deal with them every day. That's going to rock your world or change how you think and how you're walking your life. Always have an extended arm and opportunity for somebody. If they need to call you, they can. Regardless of how you broke up in that relationship, regardless of what y'all last said, it's a funny thing about people when they need something. And it ain't always material things, but it could be a good word. Did you have something you wanted to say, Tim?
No. I'm just still thinking about your comment.
Okay. Is Pasha on?
No, Sheila's on. Sheila, did you want to say anything, please?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Y'all want to be quiet, huh? Okay.
Well,
so our subtopic, other than friendship, our subtopic is happiness for tonight. And I can truly say,
A friend, the relationship as far as friends concerned, friends love at all times. At all times. And how, when you love at all times, that reminds, the next thing I was thinking about is, how do you handle conflict in relationships? We have to watch what comes out of our mouth when we're angry or upset. And we build each other. We don't tear each other down. And that's one thing I love about our relationship thing. I don't care how much I hate it. When you corrected me, I've never called you out of your name. I never belittled you. Never. I would never, ever. And once you start disrespecting somebody, you lose respect for your, not just yourself, but I don't know. I just seen relationships just crumble because you start disrespecting each other. So always respect another person's feelings. Or, you know I can be harsh about it, but I can be harsh sometimes, but I've never disrespected you and, you know, and called you out your name and all that other good stuff. But, yeah, a friend loves at all times, regardless if it's a marriage or just a friendship.
Yes, ma'am. That is vital. It's vital. And I think it's, what, 34 years we've been married now? So we went through ups and downs, trials and tribulations, but we've had more blessings than we have not. So we can't even count the blessings we've had being married and going through what we've been through to get where we at. So I do want to speak on the relationship we have with our kids. Hopefully they won't get embarrassed, but they we have an open relationship with them that we don't hide nothing from them. And we say what we got to say. It's in love that we say it. But we're able to talk to our kids the way we need to talk to them, explain life situations that we've been through with them. And I've seen a turnaround in all of my kids, the decisions that they're making, the outcome of those decisions are more positive than negative. And that's when you know, and you see, we can now be friends with our kids because they're young adults now. Growing up, it was different, you know, but now we can be on a friendly basis because they're young adults. They are adults. So, and just, you know, a friend going to tell you that they love you. A friend is going to tell you when you're doing wrong and even congratulate you when you're doing right. That's the other side of friendship. Did you have something you wanted to say, Tucker?
No, I agree with that.
Real quick,
yeah.
I know every last one of my kids hated me at one point.
They still do a little bit.
Yeah.
Katie, Katie, you're good. I wrote it on the wall. I wrote, no. Okay, on there, at my parents' house, I wrote on the stair wall in pen. I said, Mom sucks. And I spelled sucks like S-U-X. I wrote it three times.
Do you remember why you wrote it?
But why did you hate her though? Why did you dislike her?
I mean,
when I got in trouble, the way that she disciplined, I didn't like her discipline, or like little stuff. I don't know.
Me personally, mine was very simple. I didn't like her because she didn't let me do what I wanted to do.
Talking to your mic, Chuck.
I said I didn't like her because she didn't let me do what I wanted to do. Mine was very simple. which is, you know, I have a 11-year-old about to be a 12-year-old, and I had that same relationship my mom had with me I have with her. I'm not going to let her do what she wanna to do.
So, okay. So what would you do different that I did that you didn't like, that you think that I could, that you can tweak a little bit?
No, you do everything exactly how you did it. I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Okay. So you wouldn't tweak anything that how I raised you?
I would have been a little bit more harsher.
See, but
it's
not fair
to
it's only because he's a boy.
He didn't give me any problems.
One person at a time.
He didn't give me any problems. Cuffy didn't give me any problems. I want to hear something from some of the kids that gave me problems.
I'm going to chime in a little bit. The reason why I said maybe a little bit more harsher was because maybe I would have understood quicker as a young adult what I understand now. That's all. But, I mean, even if I had the chance to change anything, I wouldn't change it, though. But if I had to come up with something, that's what I would say.
All right.
Okay. Vanessa? What about Vanessa?
What's the question? What would I change about you?
No, why did you hate me so much when you were...
Oh, why did I not like you?
I want to know.
Because you were very much white or black, like it was your way or no way. I didn't like that because I like to look at children as little people and not your child staying a child's place. That's what I don't. That's why me and Destiny, Asha's baby, like I like talking to her. I like communicating. Even Sheila on the phone, I like to have open conversation and just talk like you're a person, not do this, do that. You do this, you do that because I said so. I don't like that. I don't like that. Like, I'm a free, and even I used to always get, you know, popped in the mouth. I did. But my thing is, why can't I ask questions? Why can't I know why? Maybe I'll understand why I'm doing something if you tell me why.
I want to chime in after you.
That's all I want to know is, like, why, though? And just maybe if you tell me why, I won't, you know, feel like, okay, well, I'm going to do it anyway so I can know myself. You know, I just rather you look at
okay,
me as a
so
person than as a little child.
The mouth was because of cloud. Because of, you wouldn't take a picture of a cloud.
Okay, I'm asking
what?
You.
Why
I don't understand that. Okay, I don't know. I can't thoroughly talk on that. I'm just saying in general, Mommy, of why I dislike you personally is that you look at me as you're a kid, do this, rather than look at me as a person with free choices, and maybe I just want to understand things.
I could tell you why she did it. She had did it because it wasn't supposed to be understood at that moment. It was supposed to be understood as you got older.
No,
so,
wait. So, Tuffy, what you're saying is that she just beat you down and you'll understand years later?
Yeah, you'll understand.
Literally.
But you had to be open minded.
She still don't understand now.
That's because she's still having the same problem that she don't want to understand.
No.
Let's use makeup. Why do I have to explain to a child that I said don't wear no makeup? Because
Mommy, I'm not talking right.
Now, do you appreciate it now?
I can appreciate it because I'm an adult. Mommy, listen, I can appreciate it now that I'm an adult and I have that consciousness to understand, but it's more effective when you tell a child why they're a child, why, so that they can just understand as a child and they can go to the next lesson that they need to learn in life. Like, why can't I just learn it right then and there so I can get to the next lesson? Like, instead of being mad at you.
So, hey, can I say this? Let me say this. So for everybody listening, we're talking about relationships, family, friends, whatever, just relationships, right? So when Nani was coming up, Ricky would whoop her, discipline her, blah, 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 blah. If I knew about something Nani did and it upset me, all I had to do was talk to Nani. All I had to do was talk to you, sweetie, and you just start crying. And I would explain to you the right and the wrong, and you just start crying. That's a personal relationship me and you have. The relationship I have with my oldest son, Tuffy, is different, right?
Right.
I love all y'all the same as we talked about last week, unconditionally. But y'all, as far as y'all personalities, I treat you different. But I still love all y'all. I love y'all the same. So with Tuffy, he got whoopings. I didn't whoop him a lot. Didn't have to. He got whoopings. Pasha, my other youngest son, he got whoopings. You know, Jasmine, she got whoopings. But I could talk to y'all and make all y'all cry. But your mama didn't have time for all that. And I'm glad that me and her was together in raising y'all, because you wouldn't have turned out as magnificent as you are now.
And I agree, and I feel like those talks are more effective. That's just my point of view, is that I feel like communication is more effective. That's just my point of view of what can be done better.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay, so that's what you would tweak.
Can I pause?
Wait, was that Sheila? Go ahead, Sheila.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Sheila. You're going to come after Asha. Asha wanted to go.
Wait,
yeah,
I think she was going to talk on the same topic, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, go ahead,
Sheila.
When I'm prompting the Nani thing, of course, when you tell a child not to do something, they're going to do it anyway. That's just children. But when you communicate with them, that in their mind, that makes them not want to do it. Like, I mean, of course you're going to do it anyway, but that just gives them a reason not to do it because you talk to them about it. When you just tell a child not to do something, they're going to do it anyway because that's just how they are. Like, I don't know. That's just, but communication is important.
Right, you have something you're to lean back on, that whatever you said.
You'll be leaning back
so
on.
So, y'all, that was my youngest, that was one of my granddaughters that just said that. So.
I agree, Sheila. I agree.
But Sheila, you know, you gotta get that book once in a while, okay? You know that, right? We
yes,
were not book with her. Okay. All right.
But I was gonna say, with me and my daughter Destiny, I tend to break a lot of generational curses, especially with like discipline. So like. So example, Destiny got in a little bit of trouble in school the other week. And instead of me just, you know, going off or going up there to school, blah, 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 I want to check the security cameras, blah, 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 all of that, whatever my mom would do, I let Destiny get home. I let her get home first, and I told her to sit down and talk. And I'm refreshing her memory. Like, what happened at school today? Blah, blah, blah. She knows she's in trouble, and she knows that I know. But I'm not making it intimidating. I'm making it comfortable. So every time she gets in trouble, if she does, she won't be afraid to, you know, tell me. She won't be afraid. She won't even want to get in trouble because, like, what do you have to sneak and do stuff for? It's about communication. It's about, you know, giving that child a comfortable space to talk so they don't have to go and do whatever they're doing or go talk to somebody else or, you know, you don't know which way they can go, all based off of, you know.
Okay.
Well, I can't say mom did do that with us in the beginning, but she, the way we're talking about it now is when we get old enough to know better. Like, mm-hmm. she used to sit me down. Well, I can only speak for myself. She used to sit me down and talk to me. This is exactly how you just said. But as I got older.
You're a boy.
About, well. I'm just saying.
No, I didn't.
I'm explaining how I do stuff with my daughter.
No. For sure.
But I'll give you guys a chance. But if you blew, you already know how I think. All kids are liars until proven otherwise. Okay? So if I catch you in multiple lies, you're a liar. I'm going to believe you. So if you get, like you said, if you get in trouble at school, like I should say it, pull them cameras back. I want to see. I'm going up to the school. I'm going to investigate, and I'm going to find out, and I'm going to whip your behind at school so you'll think about it the next time.
Yep, she did that on the regular. So let's let everybody know we're talking about relationships. I don't want nobody to forget that. We're talking about relationships between our family and friends. So one thing I do want to say, though, on disciplining your children, don't forget about spanking. Don't forget about it. It's a part of it.
Control.
Right?
Controlled spanking.
It's a part of it. It's a part of it. Good that you can have a child you can talk to. And I appreciate you, Oz. It's good that you can have that. If that works that way, and you see, hold on, and you see things changing for the better, that's fine. Just like I used to be able to just talk to Vanessa and things would change. All kids are not like that. So right now, you know, y'all are growing together. You're seeing her ways. She's doing newer things every day. Just keep an eye on her and discipline accordingly. But I appreciate you for what you're doing now. So we can go all night about our family relationship and what didn't happen, what did happen, and how we turned out now. But one of the most important things right now is that we're having, me and my wife have a relationship with our kids now. So that's big time. That's huge. They work for my wife. We're constantly together. Constantly talking. We got a group chat we communicate on every day. We do FaceTime together every day. So relationships, what we're talking about tonight, relationships can carry you through a curve in life. Relationships can get you over the hump. relationships, that when somebody outside of your family relationship do you wrong, you can go with anybody in your family and talk about it. That's a relationship. Well, I would lay down my life for my wife or my kids to save them. Unconditional love in a relationship. So we're going to probably be on about another 5 or 10 minutes, guys.
Okay, I want to say this.
Whatever y'all want
to go on to happiness. You can go on to happiness. Love grows when you forgive. When you forgive, your love grows. It grows more and more. Every time you forgive, every time you forgive. And don't hold grudges. And don't hold stuff over your head. It's just love. Love covers a multitude of sins. For the person to keep sinning, but I'm just saying. But that's all I wanted to say. Go ahead. You said you wanted to talk about happiness.
Yeah. You know, did you know that I can't, I told my wife just a long time ago, I can't make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make your own self happy. You know, I can't give you joy. You got to have joy on your own. You got to leap for joy on your own. I can't make you happy, but I can try to set a condition or an atmosphere that you can feel like you want to feel. Right? Give you the freedom to be who you want to be. And I think that's what I've done. My wife would have to say if it's any different or if it is correct. But I can't make you happy. You have to choose to be happy yourself. Because she know me.
What can I
say? I'm good.
Okay.
Huh?
Well, let me kind of say something on that. I was going through something with myself. I just had a baby. I mean, he wasn't. One thing about it, my husband never really dated me, ever. So I don't know why I put it in my mind. Really took me out like on dates and stuff like that. We never really did that. So so at this time in my life, it was just like, you don't even try to make me happy. And what I love about my husband, he was like, I ain't here to make you happy. If you don't like yourself, that's on you. Do something about it. If you ain't happy within yourself, I can't do nothing. I can give you $1 million. You still ain't going to be happy. On me to make you happy. I can't do it. And I felt so molded. I was like, oh, no, he didn't.
See, I think she called me a nigger.
No, I did not. No, I didn't. But, and a lot of women do that in relationships. They expect this man to, you know, just do. My husband never told me. His mother told me before she passed, if you want to do something and he don't want to do it, you better make sure you go ahead and do it, because if he go with you and he don't want to do it, he going to make sure you know that he don't want to do it. So yes, she sure did. But we as women put too much responsibilities and weight on men's shoulders to try to make us happy. Because we feel a certain way about our bodies after we have babies. No, if you fat, go to the gym. Work out. Do something. That man ain't got nothing to do with you being fat. Nothing. He didn't put it on you. And that's what I was going through at the time. And I thought it was, you know, his responsibility to make me feel a certain type of way. But like you said, don't put that on me. I ain't here to make you happy. I can add to your happiness. But
yes,
yeah,
sir.
But that's it.
Yes, sir. I remember that. I do. Nani, what do y'all think about happiness? And we'll get ready to wrap up in a minute.
Happiness within a relationship.
No, just happiness.
I feel like, honestly, I don't think, give me a second, somebody else go. I'm trying to get my thoughts fully together.
Okay,
I'll go.
Oh.
I think happiness comes from within, like was stated just not too long ago. And happiness is something that is like a, like you'll feel it all around your body. Like it's like a feeling. Like you can kind of see it out your eyes when you're looking around. Like a house could be burning down and it's like you don't really, I mean, of course you don't want anybody to be in it and stuff like that, but maybe that wasn't a good example. But just anything can be happening around you and you're just thinking about yourself, like how happy you are. Like I see it all the time. I could walk up the street, I could see a couple just arguing, or I could be driving down the road and I see somebody yelling through their phone, through the window, into the world. And it's like you kind of could see your own happiness at that point. Like you, like any problem you see through your eyes, you kind of think about it from a positive light. Like, hey, like somebody's going through it worse than I am. And I mean, you just think brighter about everything. Now you could break down like happiness is a real deep feeling. Like it could be broken down different ways. I'm talking about just generally happy in life. And then, you know, things will start coming your way. Things you never even thought of will come your way. People will come your way that would add to that happiness, but they wouldn't come your way if you weren't happy to begin with. Because those happy people that are like you, they will go to other happy people. And their vibes would be drawn to other happy places. Like, it's all about the vibe, like, that you give off, the aura you give off. If you give off happiness, then you'll be surrounded by happiness. Like, you could be in a room with 100 people. About 80 of them is going to be gossiping and talking about this and that, but then the happy ones are going to be scattered out, and then over time, those happy ones are going to get closer together because they see without all those other people in the room who's truly happy. And then, you know, they'll all attract to each other. So, it's sort of like being in prison, you know, or being in jail or being in confinement or in lockdown. It's like it's going to be filled up with a lot of negativity. But as time go on and you stay in your own bubble, stay happy within yourself, you'll find other happy people around you that will help you get through it. So,
amen.
That's what I think happiness is in general, just in general happiness.
Amen. That was good. That was good. So is it fair to say the laws of attraction?
Yeah.
What you put out, what you put out, you're definitely going to attract.
Yeah.
Right.
And I could also add to that, when you're going down the happiness route, it's always going to seem longer than the people that aren't happy. So it's going to be a longer journey. It's going to take a little longer for you to get to where you got to go with the happiness side, because that's the opposite side, the negative side, trying to put in your head like this is, you know what I mean? Like you could get it right now, as far as whatever you want out of this world, if you just do it a certain way. But if you stay true to yourself, stay happy, you have to also put inside your mind, in the back of your head, that it's going to be a longer route, because that could also discourage a happy person from being happy. Because it's like, hey, why haven't I got to this place that I've been manifesting? Like, why haven't I got there yet? It's because it's a different route for those, you know, for people like in your shoes. So would
it be fair to say, on the flip side of that, that when you're happy, time flies?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So you actually get to where you're going quicker. Go ahead.
I feel like happiness is having a bond with God. Like, I don't know. Every time I hear, like, older people, stories, are not just that, but how they went through a struggle and they have a bond with God, it's always uprising and uplifting. Like, they become a better man. I mean, of course, God works through us. But with God, you're happy within yourself. God is a happiness. So I feel like
Amen.
That was the way that I was about to go, is the way of
But half, like, the most joy and happiness I've ever felt is having God, because even in those times that don't really feel good, I can still find the joy in them because I know everything's working out. That's what I was going to say about happiness and joy, is when God is the root of it, no matter where you find yourself, you know, you can trust that, okay, this is working out for my good. And then, like, I get the view of happiness, the happiness route seeming longer. But I feel like the most joy I find is when I'm living right, like in this moment right now, not trying to pursue something else in the future. Like, I find the most happiness when I'm right here, right where I'm at, soaking in, okay, this is happening for a reason. This moment right now is working towards the greater good. So I can find that peace and that happiness where I'm at this moment, if that makes sense. And that ties into what Sheila was just saying about having God as that core is, you know, the moments where, you know, you don't feel the best, the moments where, you know, things are going on around you, you can still find that joy in something. So.
That's good. So the laws of attraction, right? And this is for y'all, this is for everybody listening, that I've learned. I'm 61 years old and I've learned this. So laws of attraction, however you feel, however you do things, what you put out there, blah, blah, blah. If it's negative, it's going to attract negativeness. If you're positive, it's going to attract positiveness, right? Positivity. So you got to be careful how you feel and relate. You got to be careful how you react to how people treat you or situations in life treat you. You got to be careful. So happiness, so our subtopic is happiness now, which we're talking about now. Happiness can draw happiness, right? Happiness can give you a state of mind. I know it don't look good, but it's going to be all right. I know what God can do because he did it before, right? We don't always have to give the devil an opportunity ourselves for him to come in. Now, he's going to attempt to come into your life through other ways, but let's not give him an open door to come in by being bitter, feeling unloved, feeling like we need somebody to be happy, feeling like we need to do this, that, and the other to be happy. Happiness starts inside of you, and it should ooze out of you that it withdraws the negativity coming your way and attracts the positivity coming your way. So laws of attraction is real, right? We attract what we are. Even in personal relationships, we attract what we are. Well, why do I always get negative men in my life want to date me? Well, how are you? Right? So we got to be careful. Got to be careful. So we got about one more minute. Any final words?
No, just love let your love shine brighter than the darkness, or let your light, let your love and your light shine in darkness, in your dark places, in other people's places. I just want to make a comment real quick. I shared this with my husband the other day, how I can walk around my house in the dark. When I wake up at night, I can walk anywhere in my house and not stump my toe anywhere. I come downstairs, turn on the light, make me a cup of tea or whatever, and turn that light off and try to walk back in the dark, I can't see. So let your light so shine. Once you're in the dark, if you're in the dark, once you come into that marvelous light, you can't go back into the dark. You can't. Because if you go back into the dark, you're going to bump your toe, you're going to hit your... anything can happen. We wasn't designed to go back in darkness, because if you go back in the darkness, you're going to draw more than what you went in there with, in the light with. If you went in with one thing, you get exposed to the light. Once you go back into that darkness, you're going to get 20 more demons. So once you come into the marvelous light, don't go back into the darkness, because you ain't going to be able to see.
Amen.
And you're going to get caught up in some stuff that you don't want to. But that's what to say.
Amen, amen. So I guess you took it right back to the first relationship, and that's with Jesus Christ. That was good.
Yep.
Our first relationship teaches us about other relationships that we'll have in our life as long as we walk this earth. So you have been listening to the Bluehead family, wife, my kids. Go ahead, Tuffy.
I got a feeling somebody is listening is in a dark spot, you know, and if you're in that dark spot, just keep thinking positive. I'm here to let you know it's going to be a little minute until you see that happiness, but just have faith that you're going to see it. But I was once in that spot. I was in that spot for like 2 years straight. But I always had faith in things getting better, even when things was getting worse. I always had a feeling things were going to get better. And once you get to that spot where things are getting better, then there's nothing nobody can say to you, nothing nobody can do to you that'll bring you back down because you already know what you've been through to get there. So,
wow. That's good. So, in that being said, also, get your relationship in Jesus Christ so you can have something to fall on. Get out of the street by yourself. Find your church home somewhere. Find your good teacher and a preacher. Learn the word of God. That's the first relationship we ought to have in life. That's true. As long as we're truthful with God, he'll always be truthful with us. And again, from last week, he loves us unconditionally. And it's a beautiful relationship, I promise you. A beautiful relationship. And once we know how to treat God, treat his sons, we learn how to treat others and put others first instead of ourselves first. The blessing. That's the happiness. That's the friendship. All right. Well, again, you've been listening to the Blue S tonight. Me and my wife, my kids, we got issues. We don't have issues. We got situations. We don't have situations. We're a normal family, just like everybody else. We don't put ourselves on no pedestal, and we won't let nobody else put us on a pedestal. But we hold each other hands, and we have a right relationship with each other, which creates happiness, things that we can fall on. And my kids know that they can fall back on us, their parents, if they come into a bad situation. I'm more than happy to help my kids because they're trying to help themselves. And it's a difference for somebody not trying to help themselves when they ask for help. But when they ask for help, I don't mind helping. That's my friendship and my relationship with my kids, my adult kids. And I love y'all. So, again, get a right relationship with your family first. Get a right relationship with God before you try to step out of your own home and try to create a relationship outside the home. When you haven't established a family relationship yet, love starts in the home with your family, where you really learn how to love, to treat others with love and happiness, to create friendships. So, Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for Elder Oliver and Chaos Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for the platform that God has given him to give to anybody that wants to speak about Jesus Christ or ordinary issues in life. Father God, I thank you for my wife, my foundation. I thank you for the trust I have in her, the trust she has with me. I thank you for each and every one of my kids and how they are coming about, how they're coming along, the things they got going on in their life. I ask that you continue to keep your hands on them and keep them steady. Keep them with the friendship that they have in you. Make it all positive, and protect them from all the wiles of the devil as they try to explore life and do what they have to do now so they can do what they want to do later on in life. Bless you that are listening. Hope you got something out of this, that we're ordinary. We're church folk, but we're ordinary folk. And Father God, I thank you for the platform again and letting us do this. I pray that you would bring us on again next week on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. on Chaos Blog Talk Radio with Ella Oliver. And I pray that we make it to that day because we know not the hour or the time when Jesus will come. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we have faith in you, Lord, that if you wake us up, we'll try to do all we can to satisfy you and your son, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Have a great night.
Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye, Destiny. All right, y'all hang up.
Thanks.